It is time for another journey deep into the lining of the magical talking hat. Hat wranglers Tony and William reach into the yawning chasm that is the hat and pull forth the questions you have posed. Will they tire of your question quickly? Is your name Azhatalin? Then perhaps they will, but then perhaps not. But that will remain a mystery until we venture into the magical talking hat.
Yeah, I fully don't understand how the thumbnail picks, because you weren't even smiling this time. Well, but you and I did all that crazy crap.
I was smiling a little.
No, that was your
what?
It's a terrible picture. So I don't even know. We'll see what happens. I keep forgetting to mention. I mentioned that we were gonna do it, but we're on Blue Sky now, people. Our username on that, there weren't enough. You can't have enough characters to do the Magical Talking Hat. Literally the only problem we've ever had with that name of the podcast. So on Blue Sky, we are at magicaltalkinghat.besky.social, which is what all Blue Sky usernames end with. BSKI.social. And what this means is we got in before the Sorting Hat. Magical Talking Hat, it's not even the. We clearly beat it. So score. But yeah, I imagine Twitter few more weeks I'm gonna post there. I don't really know if this is of use to anybody, but I worry that some people don't remember when the podcast is and just see that we posted it. So that may come up in a few more weeks here that we'll stop being on Twitter, and then that will drastically change our whole deal. As you can tell, William's very concerned.
Yeah, it keeps me up at night for sure.
He looks very worried. Hello, everyone. Welcome, Magical Talking Hat Podcast, the only podcast in the world. I probably should have come up with a bit here. I'm Tony.
And I'm William, and this is episode 737.
I thought I had a bit, but I don't know. People don't understand it. Come up with 737 bits and then see how you do. Not you. I'm not talking to William. I'm talking to the listener. I'm challenging you. Although you also haven't done it. So I'm just saying, yeah. Walk a mile in my podcast before you judge me.
Okay. I mean, I'm not judging you.
Walk a mile. You've also walked a mile in my podcast. Again, it's not.
You didn't always do an opening bit, did you? Is that when did you start doing that?
I don't know, but the point is, I've done hundreds of. Don't undercut my pain here. I don't know when it started. Probably like 5 episodes ago.
No, you've been doing it for a long time.
It's hard. Cold open topics are hard too.
Sure.
Come up with them. People don't understand. People say, "Oh, the producer." Oh, William exists, whatever. Yeah, no, all the work. This guy. And that's not a lot of work.
You don't think people
knew me, you'd say that's a lot.
You really don't think people know that? I think people know that.
I haven't been getting a lot of presents or trophies about it, so.
Because,
A. How do I know?
Yes, you do introduce the show. You often do have a bit. You often do have a cold open. You have a whole list of things to talk about.
Yes, and if you would like to show your appreciation for that, people, send trophies and or cash, branded merch, I don't know, to me. Okay. That's how I'll know that you know. Trophies. Trophies are how most people express their emotions to me. Just this morning, my wife brought me one of those big, like, four pillar ones, and on top was just a guy standing like this. And then the little thing said, "I'm really sad about how conversation went last night at dinner." I put it on our mantle. It's gorgeous. It's not the tallest, but it's up there.
Do they reuse old trophies, or do they have to buy a new one every time?
I think if your relationship is strong, you want to come up with a new trophy each time. You can. I mean, she's definitely been disappointed in our conversations at dinner more than once. I know this though. I know this because I can see from here all
All the
the
trophies.
disappointed in converse how the conversation went at dinner trophies. And they vary. Some of them are the little tiny heartfelt ones. Some of them are the big one. A couple are plaques. That was a phase of our marriage. We were, sort of trying new forms of communication. Didn't really work, but I save them. They're nice. But yeah, I mean, you can just be like, "Hey, this trophy, this is how I feel again." It works. I'm sure some marriages do that, but not mine.
Oh.
For those of you joining us for the first time, we communicate in trophies. We have a hat. It is magical in that it has its own email address, the magical talking hat at gmail.com. It also has its own social media at magical talking hat dot BSKY dot social. So it's extra magical now. People write into that email address, the magical talking hat at gmail.com. It's whatever the crap they want, notes, comments, questions, topics, things like that. The hat magically, with all of its hat-like power, forwards us the emails, makes us talk about them. That's what we do. Welcome, won't you? So, how's your week been?
It's been okay. And I watched some stuff. No, I can't remember what. Nothing.
You suck. You suck so bad.
Well, I don't really have much to say about, a lot of it. Oh, I saw one of the things that we saw that I kind of liked was Companion. Have you heard of that? It's a story about a guy who has an Android girlfriend. And have you heard about it? It's on Netflix. Let me look it up real quick.
I maybe have heard about it. I feel like there's more than one movie like this, but there's a question I could ask you because it has a twist, and I could ask, and I know the twist of said movie, so I could ask you, is it the one where X? But I can't do that on the air. So.
Yeah, I can't remember what service it's on. So this is, just based on what I just said, this is not a groundbreaking story. They don't do anything groundbreaking in it, really. The plot, I don't even want to call them plot twists because they're so predictable. They're sort of plot turns, it's still a pretty fun story. The performances are good. The lead, Sophie Thatcher, in it. She was one of
Yeah,
the.
this is the one I'm thinking of, is Sophie Thatcher's the
Yeah,
lead, yeah.
she's one of the Mormon gals in The Heretic and whatever. And her performance here is every bit as good. So, I do recommend it if you like, as I do, pretty, content that's about artificial intelligence and robots and all that other stuff, because I feel like it's a good entry in this genre, but it's not, if you heard me summarizing, you thought, wow, that's like the thousandth thing like that that's been made in the last, and not even the last 20 years, in the last 50 years. You're right. There's nothing new. It's not gonna challenge you or make you think about artificial intelligence or robots in a different way. But
not like Wednesday season two will do.
She especially is very good in it. And I mean, I think, and I like her a lot. I mean, Abby and I both have really appreciated other stuff that she's done. We didn't
and
really.
Apparently, actually, she started as a musician.
I don't know.
It but appears.
She's quite good and very fun to watch. And we didn't even know before we started watching it, because even though in the promo there's a picture of her, you can't really, we couldn't tell it was her. And so the movie had to start, and it had to go for a little while before I said, because I'm usually the one that says these things, I think that's the same gal from The Heretic. And that's the first thing we'd ever seen her in. And we were so super impressed with her in that film.
Yeah.
So.
No, the end credits song from Heretic, that's her singing.
It is?
Yeah.
Interesting.
I actually checked at the time, because I was like, this, I think I know her. Like I vaguely knew her as a musician, I think.
Hmm. Okay.
So for some reason I checked that.
But yeah, I recommend the now what's his name? Dennis Quaid's son. What is his name? Something Quaid. He's in it. He's the male lead.
Dylan. Jerome.
I'll remember it when we're done. But he voices Superman.
Jack Quaid.
He voices Superman in the My Adventures with Superman, that new that new animated Superman that I actually like, and I recommend to anybody who thinks they might like DC content. I think they've got an interesting take on Superman and his work. So through the whole thing, all I could hear every time he talked was Superman. That was so weird. And also, he does look a lot like his dad in a distracting way. Like, especially when he smiles, you know, his dad's got that goofy smile.
Dennis Quaid has a very distinctive smile.
Yeah. Well, he looks just like him. And that was a little distracting, but not nearly as distracting as every time he opened his mouth. I thought of Superman from this new Superman cartoon.
Sex robot, Superman, what are you doing? That doesn't seem right.
Yeah, it was weird. But I do recommend it. I thought it was quite good. Other than that... You know, I can't think of any major thing we watched that I, you know, was really impressed by. So, but yeah, I mean, you know, it's been a pretty good week. Otherwise, how about you? How was your week?
Pretty good. Still playing Avowed. I think it may be less far from I think it may be further from the ending than I thought. I'm starting to get some signs that it may be one of those, then you backtrack through the places you've been. And see how things have changed. So it might be a little longer, but I'm still playing that and enjoying it. A lot of games right now coming through Game Pass in a second, but there's a brand new one that I installed called South of Midnight. And it is another one of these that is trying to do sort of a stop motion living painting sort of animation style. That's very cool. And it's all about It's a bunch of Southern folklore, and it's this young woman whose mother, her house gets washed away during a flood, and so she's trying to find her mother, but magical things get involved. And I was really anticipating it. It looks cool. I think it's going to be one like Harold Halibut that Trish will I'll play it while she's watching, because I think it's that kind of game. So yeah, there's a lot of good stuff coming once I finish Avowed, but I'm still having fun with Avowed. We finished The Residence.
Oh, okay.
It's a good show. It's just a lot of good actors. It's the older I get, the more amused I am with the world's greatest detective conceit. Like from Sherlock Holmes. Like, it's always been dumb. But, like, it's always clustered a bunch of other dumb things with it. When you have the world's greatest detective, you also have a slew of red herrings, which means anytime there's a murder, coincidentally, there's, like, 8 people also doing other hinky unrelated shit that happen to be at the same gathering or whatever. It's none of it really holds together. Like, you don't. I understand people do this with Agatha Christie's, and you technically can, But to me, with this kind of thing, it's like, do not even try to solve the mystery. That is not why you are here. Stop it. It's not a real mystery. It's a series of witty barbs and twists, and then they'll tell you who killed them. Sometimes they don't even do that.
Right, and it gets harder to maintain the conceit.
This is not one of those times, by the way. If you haven't seen The Residence, you will find out who the murderer is.
It gets harder to maintain the conceit in this situation, too. It's like, oh, this is the greatest detective of all time, but they're thrown off like that, six times during the whole thing, sometimes in ways where you're like, well, I don't think even I would have been thrown off by that.
And not,
you're the greatest detective of all time.
Yeah, there's a lot. They always are very deliberately obtuse. It's weird. But here's the thing about The Residence. The Residence is exactly as ridiculous as that concept.
Sure.
Because the show itself is ridiculous in a lot of ways. And so it really feels right to me. Like, the ridiculousness of the premise is matched by the ridiculousness of the dialogue and the plot points. So, like, I'm just having fun. Yeah. Like, it doesn't take itself seriously. I don't take it seriously.
Right.
We're just having fun. And I want more of that. The ones that are like, oh no, this is a serious mystery. I'm like, it is not. Stop it. Agatha Christie has poisoned all of our minds. Agatha Christie was amazing, but it was a very specific type of highly unlikely murder. But anyway. I got off the drive. It is very good. I recommend it. It's good.
Yes, but I do too. Show. It was fun.
It's a good show. I hope they do another season. I will watch another season. It's fun. Did I talk about Moonstruck?
No, I don't think so.
I don't have any movies because I think we covered so many of them last time because they've been building up and we haven't watched a lot. So we, like, date night, we often watch one. Instead, we just finished The Residence. I found out Trish hadn't seen Moonstruck. And I was like, shit, you gotta see Moonstruck. Did the 80s just know how to do rom-coms? Because I hate rom-coms. Mm. And now, when Harry Met Sally and Moonstruck, which I had seen Moonstruck, and I remembered I like it, I just sort of had forgotten, oh, it's a rom-com, and I like it. And here's the thing. A lot of When Harry Met Sally I like because it feels real to me. That relationship goes over the course of decades and it feels earned. And that's often my problem with the rom. I'm like, these are terrible people who have just gotten together for no reason, whatever. This is not a good romance. Like, this is not a, I'm not like, oh, good for them. It's really going to last. This is like, it's a rom-com and it is not a tried and true romance here, but it's just fun and it doesn't piss me off and the people aren't terrible. And it's fucking amazing performances. That's a thing too, but I don't get it. There's a point at which, and it's before Love Actually got created, there's a point at which every single rom-com forever and ever, amen, are the worst. And I don't know when it happened. I assumed it was since its inception. But now I'm starting to wonder. The 80s had a knack.
Well.
Uh-huh.
I mean, so, like, really old romantic comedies, like, you know, black and white ones. You don't think those are any good either? That those have the same problem as the more recent ones do?
Those ones are so tied up in some really outdated gender roles that often gets
true.
Like,
yeah, you're right.
I'm trying
that.
To see if it's a good, if it's, I don't know how romantic or comedic it seems when he's our hero is spanking our heroine, you know, and that kind of shit comes up in the old ones, you know.
I guess, but I'm thinking like My Girl Friday and stuff like that. I mean, that doesn't happen.
Yeah,
no,
I haven't seen him. I'm youthful. I'm what they call a zoomer.
I mean, I don't like most of them either. The old ones, any of them. But you know me, I that's,
you know, like, it, nothing.
If I'm watching anything that has any romance in it at all, as soon as a romantic scene comes up, I get up and I go get a sandwich. I mean, I don't care for any of that. But I do. I agree with you. I think there was a time in the recent past where they changed in a way that got worse. I mean, by my estimation, even than they were before. But I'm not so sure the 80s was good at it. I just think maybe before a certain point, they were, you know, tolerable or mostly.
Or maybe I'm just hitting the high notes, you know.
Yeah.
Because if you start tying in Hughes and Hughes adjacent things as romantic comedies, then it can get weird too. And that's all the 80s fault.
His Girl Friday.
Yes.
I think what it is. But whatever. The point is.
Their Girl Friday.
There's older films that I think. I don't know if they considered them romantic comedies back then, but we do. We consider them that now. That are like. I mean, I can watch them and not be like particularly bothered by them. But.
And it's tricky because not every comedy that features a romance in it is a romantic comedy.
Yes, right.
But anyway, we saw Moonstruck. It's very good. It's fully rom-com, but I enjoy it a lot. Apologies to my growing cult of people who kill all rom-coms on sight. Maybe we need to hold off. I don't know. I'm regrouping. Just stand by. The usual forums. I will announce my truth, and we will use a cleansing fire to build a future that is bright for all of Tony's. This is not podcast material. Sorry, if you know, you know. It's fine. We should move on. We started watching a new show. I mean, we'll start watching another new show now because we did The Residents. But I picked a show over on Max. Los Espookies.
Don't know it.
I knew about it from a long time ago. It is actually Lauren Michaels executive produced, but I know Fred Armisen was very heavy. It is a Spanish language show about these young adult friends who I guess are really good at like horror special effects. And, like, in the process, we've only seen the pilot, but they basically are being hired to make spooky things in weird circumstances or whatever. And it's Spanish with subtitles, but it's real good, snappy dialogue. Like, it's very, it reminds me of, like, a Mitch Hurwitz or something. It's very, it's very fun, and it's very funny. It also has, I don't remember his name. There is a young man. He is an actor in some things, but he is most known for being a writer on Conan. And now he has gone on to do a bunch. He did a show on Max called Fantomas recently. That was his. He did Problemista, which we watched. He wrote and directed and was one of the main people in that. He's one of the characters in this. And it's just really fun. And it's fun because it's, I believe, based in Mexico. And so, like, it's fun to, it's a good sitcom, but it's just culturally different for a change. And so I'm like enjoying that. But Fred Armisen is involved. Fred Armisen does a lot of characters with a lot of accents. And eventually I was like, I think he might just be white. And I was kind of bothered by that. And then recently, because he's involved in this and he speaks very good Spanish in this, although one of the characters speaks Spanish apparently with a terrible American accent, and she claims it's because she was on an exchange program to Minnesota for 2 weeks, and now she talks like an American. Her name is Tati. She's the funnest character in the whole thing. But, no, his mom is Venezuelan. And his dad is like part German, part Korean, but they thought for many years it was part Japanese because apparently his Korean grandfather just pretended to be Japanese or something. I don't know. But yeah, so apparently he's qualified to do accents. I don't know. It's just, I never know how that stuff is. It's weird. But anyway, Los Espookies. This is a good show. Just check it out. It's on Max. It's good. Got two seasons, I think. All right. Do email.
Stu says, when is the next milestone episode when we get the whole band together again?
Zoom's been trying to get me to pay extra so I can have more concurrent users. Are we expecting more than like 500 or something? I think that's the normal.
I mean, we've really only ever make a big deal out of, you know, hundreds. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you can kind of calculate it out based on how many are left to the next.
Here's what 100. I say. And I'll do you one better than that. You tell me, Stu, you tell me, all listeners out there. If this is a thing you really want to do, if you want to have one of these episodes and you want to come on one of these episodes, you let us know. You go to the blog, themagicaltalkinghat.com. You can write into the hat, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. You can go to Blue Sky at magicaltalkinghat and tell us. And if we hear that that's something that y'all want, maybe we do it for 800 or 900 if y'all are slow. But if we don't hear, I would assume it'd be 1,000, which means you got a few years yet. You could get hit by a bus and never be on another episode of our podcast.
I mean, even 800 is more than a year away. So
it is. It's a while.
Like almost a year and a
half. Well, we got to give them time. I'd say 750, but groundswell of support isn't going to happen in 14 weeks. These weeks have, folks have busy lives.
Yeah.
I used to think they stopped listening. No, they listen in spurts. A lot mm-hmm. of them, which mm-hmm. I get. I do that with podcasts too. So you tell us. It'll be 1,000 unless you tell me all of you, not all, some of you, more than Stu, that's something you want. And Stu, this doesn't count as you saying that's something you'd want. Asking a question is not the same as requesting something. So you tell us too. Everybody tell us, do you want to do one of those? It's fun. Also, if you've never seen it, go back and see 500. It's a good episode. Had a lot of people on it. I don't know that they all listen anymore, but a lot of them do. And then we can get Maggie in there if she wanted. We could finally meet somebody we don't know. That'd be crazy. All right. You got any extra thoughts about that one?
No, but I mean, I think we've enjoyed it, you know, when we've done these things.
Oh, it was a real fun time.
Yeah, yeah. So we're down for sure. It just depends if who else is, right?
Yeah.
So.
I mean, you could argue every episode is one of those episodes. We're just the only people who show up. I have occasionally wondered about doing like a guest. Like we've had Trish on sometimes. But I don't know. Just the problem is between movies and video games and whatever's up my butt at the given moment, it's not like we aren't filling the time, generally speaking, already. So I'm like, to add something would be to take something else away, I would assume.
I've thought
about just have somebody on, get their thoughts on things. What do they want to talk about? It's like email the magical talking hat, but instead it's show up. Which I guess means the hat would have to make those arrangements. So if it happens, we'll know.
Yeah, I guess so.
But again, if that's something you personally as a listener want to do or are interested in that kind of thing, I'm not saying it'll happen. That's up to the hat. But you should let us know if that's something that you want. Otherwise, the hat will assume nobody wants that and it won't ever happen. Because the hat can only return if it's feared and... Wait, sorry, that's Freddy Krueger. Anyway, so yeah, write in if you want that. Have you seen the trailer for the new Wednesday?
No.
They just dropped the teaser for it.
I think I heard that, yeah, but I didn't watch it.
It's cute, but here's my problem. As I believe we have established, Wednesday's a great show. It is not necessarily a great interpretation of the character of Wednesday Addams.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interpretation, sure.
Yes. And the character goes through some dynamism in the show. The teaser trailer looks like a trailer for, like, it's not, it has callbacks, but like her attitude and the jokes they're doing, I'm like, we're pretending this is just like this. Not on, this isn't the character that started this show, and it's certainly not the one that ended last season. Like it felt very, it's cute, but it felt very generic. And I'm just like, I hope we're actually building on stuff, because it's very much a teaser. It's mostly joke gags about going through airport security and having a lot of weapons on her and stuff like that. But we'll see. I mean, I'm definitely gonna watch the show. I enjoyed the first season, and I will watch the second. But I'm killing time because we're only like halfway through, and I don't think we've got more than one more email, and I'm worried it won't be a half hour conversation. So I'm just trying to think of other things in my life. Jimmy John's started toasting their sandwiches.
I didn't know they didn't toast their sandwich.
They didn't. They were like the only ones left, because Quiznos came in and was like, toasting is the way to go. And then Quiznos disappeared. But before they left, they scared everyone into starting to toast theirs, like Subway. And the other one, Jersey Mike's or whatever, because they all got those, and then Quiznos went away. So it's like that was clearly not the magic thing. But Trish really loves Quiznos, and Quiznos, I know Quiznos isn't gone, but it's mostly gone. It's gone around here. Trish loved Quiznos, and so then they start toasting at Jimmy John, and they have three specific toasted sandwiches, but also any other sandwich you want, they'll toast it. She hadn't done it. I give it spite, but she likes what she's getting, and so she's just sipping it up. But I've tried now two of the three. They are damn good. I didn't really expect them to be. I just always got to try the new weird shit at a fast food place, you know? That's like my thing. But yeah, it's really good. I had they have a roast beef one that was really good, and then the ultimate Italian one, and it's tasty. I don't remember what the third one is, but you can toast anything. We're kind of becoming Jimmy John's people. They're tasty. You know, well, you specifically, what do you, you probably don't do a lot of fast food or anything like that.
Not really. Because
you are both vegetarian and poor.
Yeah, no, not really. Not really. I think the last time I had anything from Jimmy John's was like when we worked together, because I think they were kind of a new big deal around that time in this area. Jimmy John's,
that would make sense. I don't really know their history, but I didn't really know them until I moved here, so
yeah,
probably said something.
They were, I think the first place they had in the area was downtown, took over
near the corner there. There's that one.
Mm-hmm. Right there. I forget what was there right before that. I want to say there was like a comic shop there or something. But anyway, they redid the whole, whatever was there before. They redid the whole thing to have a Jimmy John's there, which was pretty popular right away in a college town right downtown. And I think shortly after it opened, we went down there. And I think it was while we were working at Applied that happened. And it was it made such a splash that, you know, a lot of businesses were like, where should we order from? Oh, let's order from Jimmy John, you know, to if managers were having a meeting or if they were going to buy sandwiches for the whole whatever.
Because ACT gets that too, because there's one pretty close to ACT.
Yes, right.
Which is where I drive. We are technically not in the delivery range of any of them. So if I want them, I got to go get them.
Oh, really? Because that Jimmy John's is pretty pretty close to you, I thought.
The one I bet on the Venn diagram, we're just outside.
Just outside, yeah.
I'm guessing. But every time I try, they're like, you're out of our range.
They must have a limited range, man.
Sandwiches are just a good thing, and they don't come up a lot anymore. And sandwiches, in general, are less heavy and greasy and fatty than most fast food options. So just the idea of, like, how about just a place with some sandwiches is always going to be good. And then you just have different versions of it, which is why there's so many Firehouse Subs and Jersey Mike's and Marco's Grilled Cheese, which is a regional one, but it's going, or local one, but it's going big now. And Jimmy John's and Subway, of course, and all these, like, it's just sandwiches, and sandwiches are good. It's just sandwiches, people.
Yeah. Well, I mean,
you take anything away from this. Oh, let's talk about that for a second. I started a new tabletop role-playing game online with some friends I went to college with.
You did?
Yeah, what this is Saturday, like the day after we last recorded.
Oh, well, tell me about it.
Brand new. It's weird because I ain't seen these people in 25 years. Almost all of them are people. All but one are people I went to college with. Although as soon as I started, I was like, hi, I don't think we went to school together. And he's like, actually, we did. And so then I had to backpedal real fast because I actually knew this guy, but he looks very different. It's fun. It's the system we are playing. It's a Powered by the Apocalypse one. It's also a Carved in Brindlewood one, which matters. It's called the Between. Carved in Brindlewood is a new thing. It's a set of mystery solving mechanics. And so different games and different systems have started incorporating it. So it's not a specific game system. It's a subsystem, essentially, that different things are. And it's to have a new way for solving mysteries, because that's always been a complication in tabletop role-playing games, is how do you solve a mystery? What if they miss clues? What if they misinterpret clues? You know, that kind of thing.
Oh, sure.
And so this has always been a different... Occasionally, somebody tries to come up with a system, and this is a new one, and this group really likes this system. And it appears to be all about you get a bunch of clues, and then you have to come up with a theory that successfully incorporates X number of clues, depending on what the mystery is. And then you roll the dice, and it sees how well you did to coming up with the real answer. And then you go from there. Oh. So the mystery doesn't have a real answer to start with.
Mm.
Based on there's a lot of... I was sort of just along for the ride, but there is a lot of the player creating a scene and then playing all the parts to, like, fill in things. So there's a lot more sort of improv work and that kind of thing. It was fun. The premise is it's Victorian London, and you're a bunch of monster hunters, all of whom in one way or another are monstrous or supernatural yourself. And I am playing a ghost. And she's pretty stuffy and uptight and kind of xenophobic.
Huh.
There's an American in the group, and she's still really bothered that they let an American be. And back when she was alive, they would not have let an American involved. That became the whole thing. She's a little bit, don't tell my players, based on Lady Buttons from the British Ghosts show. But yeah, I think it's fun. It's a lot to take in at once, but I'm pretty excited. I think it'll be cool. It's every other Saturday. So,
well, what got you started doing that? How did that happen?
Okay, long story. You know, I try and avoid Schadenfreude. I try and avoid negativity. I don't just try and avoid the current socio-political climate. I do that too. But in general, things like I used to enjoy, I think I talked about years ago, I liked, there was a show called Live PD or Campus PD, something it was like a cop show, but it was all like university kids. And I used to love watching it because they're all so full of entitlement or whatever. And the idea that they could actually get in trouble is hilarious to watch their comeuppance and all. And then eventually I just stopped because I'm like, it's not, I don't like taking pleasure out of someone else's pain, even if they deserve it. And it, chemically speaking, it becomes this weird dopamine thing where you just want more. It's similar to people look up the political stuff because the outrage gives them the chemical hit they want, and they want, so then they want to be outraged more. And I know this, and I avoid this kind of thing. Every once in a while, though, I go on a bender. And for whatever reason, I don't understand, I binged hard this particular YouTuber who was, people would write in D&D horror stories of like things just going really poorly. And they were really awful. Some of them, like, and now we don't speak to these people anymore. Terrible, terrible stories. I don't know why I kept listening to them. And I don't know why, but something in this experience of how terrible it can be made me go, I should do some more gaming again. I kind of miss, I mean, I have my D&D game, but it's very small and it's different. And I'm like, yeah. So I have no idea why this inspired me, but it did. And I had two friends, one from high school and one from college, both of whom I knew still actively gamed. And so I contacted both of them, and one was like, the one from high school was like, that's awesome. I would love to do this. Unfortunately, we only play in person. And last I knew, you live in Iowa, which, as eagle-eyed viewers will know, is still true. And then the college one was like, actually, I got somebody about to leave my game because he's moving to a different time zone. It's on Friday nights, every other Friday from this time. Do you want to do it? And I was like, let me see. And I talked to my wife, and she was like, if it was every Friday, it might be a bit much because Friday nights we like to hang out and goof off. It's like every other, that could be good. So I said, sure, let me know. And then I didn't hear anything back for like 2 months. And I
Two
was like,
months, wow.
guess that's not happening. Well, they said he was moving in like 6 weeks, but I assumed it would be a conversation and then they let me know and go from there. But and finally, I was like, it's just not happening. And I'm not going to worry about it. And by then, the itch was gone. Whatever that was, partially I stopped watching those videos, but also, yeah, just the whatever. I was like, yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine. I don't need it. But then my college friend came back to me. He's like, sorry, as you may have gathered, that's not happening. The guy moved, but he decided he'll stay up late enough to play the game or whatever. He's like, but I have a different game on Saturdays that technically doesn't have an opening, but a lot of our players have been missing for various things. So I'm trying to talk them into getting another play in there. Would you be interested in that? And I said, let's talk to my wife. And I talked to my wife, and my wife was like, oh, let's do that. She thinks it's good for me. At this point, all of my socializing is measured out, and that is intentional because I can't handle a lot of it. But I think this is another good, it's a very safe, like we're gaming. Like it's, there's not a lot, like we have personal chit chat, but like not a lot of delving into our lives and stuff. It's just gaming. It's just 3 hours every 2 weeks. She's like, I think it could be good for you. And so I said, sure. And then I did it. And so far, it's good for me.
Cool.
Yeah.
How and
All
you
right.
just started? You just started?
Just started. Just started. So
Oh.
mostly I was just sort of watching was, I mean, I was involved, but I didn't even do a lot in this one. And it was, they've played for a few sessions, so it was a lot of like them going through their existing threats and clues and stuff. And I'm like, I'm trying to pay attention, but I'm like, I wasn't here for a lot of this, so it's not. But I'll get there. I just need to catch up. It's a very interesting. It's one of those many systems that's like to encourage role play, we've created these mechanics. And to a lot of people, that's like, that's antithetical to role play. But it really is a thing that like it sets it up. And this game is very cinematic in that all of the characters very intentionally have backstories that nobody knows. And like the game says, like if a character asks your character about their backstory, you should deflect. And if a player asks you about your character's backstory, you should point out we're not supposed to tell each other about backstories. So, like, it's a secret kind of thing. But there are certain mechanics built in place that require you to narrate out scenes of your past at certain points within the game that you create. And it's not like the character is telling the other characters. We're all watching it like as an audience. So the characters don't have any new information, but we now have this sort of flavor of a flashback to there. And that's how we as the audience essentially learn about the characters and all that. So,
So
it's a neat idea. We'll see. I'm a very big fan of the Powered by the Apocalypse system in general. But I also have learned it can be used for good or for evil.
Well, isn't that true for anyone, any system?
No, some systems can only be used for evil.
All right, so you're starting this, and play has already started. People have already stepped. How narratively was
your character? I think they've had about 3 sessions so far.
How narratively was your character introduced? Like, what? They obviously weren't present.
I picked a playbook. We had a couple of options. I didn't have many options because all the other players had picked them already.
Oh.
But there were a couple of options, and one was the ghost. And I picked the ghost for a few reasons. One, the nature of it is you just spontaneously came awake in the house that is sort of the base of operation. So I was like, I always love when I'm starting a game, especially a game that other people have already been playing. I love coming in with a character who doesn't really know what's going on, because I don't really know what's going on. And right. So it makes it much easier to role play. And so I have just slowly started putting together, but she's basically somebody who used to work in the house decades ago. And then she just spontaneously showed up one day. She was just her. She has a painting, and it started talking.
Oh,
at them.
Hmm.
And that's about all they know at this point.
Oh, okay.
Because remember, our backstories are hidden. But, yeah, it's got very basic mechanics in terms of phases of the day and the things you do. And all of that is extremely mechanical, the threats and all that. So that then gives you scenes that you can just do whatever the crap you want. So it's like, we have to tick off these boxes and then we role play.
Mm-hmm.
It's a newer style that I'm getting. Lamentations of the Flame Princess, I think, did a bunch of this too. No, sorry, Wheel of Fire did a bunch of this too, and that ticked off a bunch of people at the time.
Why?
Because people are like, role play and mechanics shouldn't go together. That's the whole point. And I see that argument, but I also have experienced them now, and this can really facilitate things. And it can facilitate role play even in people who are scared of role play or not very good at role play. Because it's telling you what to do. And so then you can build out of that. It is funny, one of the players in this game is who I went to college with. She was an actress. She was in the theater department in college and everything. And when we started the session, she was having to resolve a thing from last time where she was narrating a scene of her past. And she nailed it. And she had the different voices. And afterwards, I was like, well, I'm not going to be able to compete with her if she's bringing real acting to this. Like, are the rest of y'all acting for real? Because that seems unfair.
That seems unfair.
Nobody told me I had to be a real actor for this. But yeah, so I am pretty excited for that.
So it's every other week?
So it's not this coming weekend. I need to read up. Now that I've played it, some of the rules may make a little more sense to me. So. We shall see.
How many people are playing it once?
I believe there are, including me, 6 players total. one of the players was not at this last session.
Okay.
And then there's also the actual, the keeper, which is what Powered by the Apocalypse calls their game masters.
And was everybody remote, or were some people there?
I know everybody's remote. I mean, even the keeper and his wife were in different rooms of their house to do it. It's all over Discord. I'm having to learn Discord, which sucks. I hate Discord. But I'm learning it for the sake of doing this, because that's how apparently this all comes out of. My friend started a Discord server when COVID hit and started running games on it. And that's how, like, a lot of the, even though they're friends now, they reconnected like 5 years ago in some cases. And then some of them, the one guy who I didn't go to college with was roommates for many years with several of the people I did go to college with. So he basically joined this friend group about the time I left this friend group. So
back in the day.
Well, and it's also weird because some of the people that he roomed with and that we were all friends with are dead now. And so then that gets weird, but,
so how do you, what's your take on it? Or do you feel like, because I mean, you've gone through a lot of changes in your life just in the time that I've known you. So do you think that they perceive you as being very similar to how you were last time they interacted with you, or are you radically very different? And it's like getting to know a whole different person.
I think it's more the latter. I expressed concerns to my friend who's the one running it. I said, like, I've been going through a lot of stuff right now, and it's very weird. Like, I'm very nervous that you all have an impression of me that's 25 years old and I'm not that person anymore. And he was like, don't even think about it that way. It's been 25 years. We're meeting new people. And I was like, that's fair. That's definitely fair. And it wasn't entirely because they were, but like the one guy that I was like, I don't think we went to college. He's like, actually we did. Part of that is he had these big thick glasses and now he has LASIK. But like I had to talk him through remembering who I was. So yeah, I think, I mean, they all remember me, but I don't think there's a lot to hold on to there because it's been 25 years. But we'll see. Still early days.
For you, did anything anyone said or did make you think, oh, that actually is very similar to what they would have said or done 25 years ago? Or was it truly like, these are all just new people to me? It's actually a trivial thing that we knew each other 25 years ago.
It's a 3-hour gaming session that's of a campaign that's in progress that I'm just joining into that I've never played before.
Mm-hmm.
Might not be enough for me to read a lot of nuance into the behavior of these people that I was once friend with, but haven't seen in 25 years. So, but there were bits that still, and it's true for me. I mean, it's been 25 years. I'm not like an alien. Like, I still talk a lot the same. I still have a lot of the same views, mannerisms, those stuff. Even over 25 years, kind of that. And I had some of that. I was way more interested in how much they still looked like the same people.
Uh-oh.
And about half of them really did. And one cracked me up because they looked exactly like they look in college. But then some amateur theater production did some old age makeup, but just a little bit. So like graying at the temples, and they drew some lines with an eyebrow pencil along the forehead and like a little darker rouge on, and that was it. And otherwise they just, like, it still looked to me like they were young. They were just wearing that. I had a real fun time with one of my friends is named Carmen, and I realized that I have had a friend named Carmen in like every phase of my life.
Really?
In high school, I did a bunch of theater with a set of twins, one of whom was named Carmen. And we became pretty good friends. And then in college, I had this friend, Carmen, who I hung out with a lot, and we became good friends. And then at ACT, I don't know that we were good friends, but I was friends with Carmen, somebody who worked there recently. And So whenever I'm like, oh, Carmen's gonna be this, my brain kept switching between the three, and I had to be like, what? No, this one. But then I saw her, and I'm like, yeah, see, that's the proper Carmen. That's college car. I recognize her immediately. So that should be good. All right, we've killed a fair bit of time. I think it's time for a side quest.
Okay. We didn't kill it. That was an interesting conversation. I'm glad you brought that up. I'm
Hey,
always curious about
it's
that kind of stuff.
all runtime. That's what matters most to me. So,
Okay. I
it's
thought it
all
was
about that
interesting.
quota of content. A content quota, if you will. All right. Pick a number between 1 and 84.
50.
See? Rocket ship. All right. This is a Guardians of the Galaxy reference. Awesome Mix Volume 1. Put together a new playlist to boost your mood. You strike me as somebody who doesn't do playlists.
I mean, I'm not even sure what doing playlists means. You mean
You
like on
put
YouTube or
together
something?
a l list of tracks for you to listen to
On a device
frequently in
or
a
something.
specific, yeah, in a specific circumstance, or to elicit a specific type of mood.
Oh,
The
no.
most common ones are, here's a list of tracks I have put together that I listen to when I work out.
I mean, that kind of thing has been common since we were kids and mixtapes, right? Oh, here's a
Yeah, mixtape
mixtape.
and mixed CDs, and now it's just playlists because it's playlists. But yeah.
Yeah, I mean I've known of these things and playlists. Like I wasn't sure if you just meant like a iPod playlist or just in general playlists, whatever. It's on a whatever device it's on or whatever platform it's on, doesn't matter, right? No, I don't really do that.
Correct.
I don't really do that.
Well, I'm glad we specified what platforms it was on.
Okay. So
If
in
they had been
YouTube,
on a specific one, the answer might have been yes.
listen, on YouTube, they have this section called playlists. Have I ever
Yes.
built a playlist on YouTube? Yes. But if that's
I
not music,
haven't.
that's not music, obviously. That's
I've
other
never built a
things.
playlist on
Well,
YouTube.
I mean, like one of the playlists I built on YouTube was my films. I have a playlist of my films. I have a playlist of various things. But it's
Seems
like,
conceded.
that's not the same.
No, it's true.
It's not the same as
That's
a music playlist, but it is called a
no,
playlist.
awesome mix one where it said, yeah, then that is definitely, sorry, that sorry, this is a
Oh,
musical
God.
playlist. I
I only
used
have
to
these
do
problems. It's
this.
just me.
I did this all the time.
Oh, making playlists.
I
Yeah.
tried to do themed playlists. My big dream for a long time, no pun intended, was I was going to make a playlist for each of the Endless from Vertigo Comics from Sandman.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah, it didn't go well. I try and make playlists. In my current Appatoons, I got 4 or 5 different ones. I use one. It is called Current. And I just put in the songs I want to be listening to in there. And when I get bored of listening to them, I take them out again. And I just shuffle that list. And that's the only one I do. I really want to be into playlists. It doesn't do it. I don't know why. I bounce off of it.
I
I
don't
think
think
it's a
I.
really cool idea. I am obsessed with the idea of a soundtrack of one's life. I think that's really cool. I love music. Doesn't work for me. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't. I've had very few times in my life where I felt like, oh, I want to listen to this song right now. Like I haven't heard it in a long time where it has anything to do with my mood or emotions necessarily. I don't think I think that way. I don't think, oh, I'm in this mood. I want to listen to this kind of music.
I
Oh.
do, but it's very late at night and I'm playing music videos on YouTube. And those ones are individual, but that's, I just do that. All right, we have a quote at the end of this one from the legendary David Bowie. I don't know where I'm going from here, but I promise it won't be boring. That's a thought provoker there. I'm going to think about that.
I don't feel like I could ever promise that about wherever I'm
this
going.
This is the thing.
It won't be boring to me,
you're
maybe.
Essentially promising I, in and of myself, am so, am such that I cannot go somewhere and have it be boring. It is incapable for a situation to be boring if I am present. That is what he's saying to me. And I buy it because it's David Bowie. But I'm not sure if you're not David Bowie, you can say that. And, I mean, long-time listeners will already know this, but short-time, in case you're new, I should specify. I, and William, I think this is true for both of us. Aren't David Bowie.
Nope.
So we don't know where we're going, but it might be boring.
It might be boring.
And honestly, I feel like that should be an acceptable, if you don't know where you're going, you have to accept the possibility.
Then it'll be boring.
It might be boring. Not saying it will be. For me, I feel like it's less like I can make boring situations unboring. I'm not a David Bowie, but I think I do well.
You do good, yeah. Really good.
And if I get bored, I will entertain myself at the
likewise
cost of everyone around me.
I hope that's not
arguably
me, but
this entire podcast is because I was bored and wanted to entertain myself. but I'm not David Bowie. And I don't think William's David Bowie.
Not David Bowie.
We live, and I think real America lives, in a state of knowing that if you don't know where you're going, it might be boring.
Might be. It's a roll of the dice. Flip of the coin. You just don't know.
It's arguably irresponsible for David Bowie to have said this when you think about it, because it isn't going to apply to the, there are kids out there intentionally going
pressure
to places they don't know, just assuming it's not. How many of them suffered tremendous boredom?
No,
yeah. They just assumed it was going to be fine.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I mean, he's dead now. I don't want to, but like, did anybody ever hold him accountable for
yeah,
this?
Slow your roll, David. Come on now. Don't
some
get carried
us,
away.
Some of us can be boring. you and Tilda Swinton go do your thing, but the
sure,
rest of us, sometimes we're going to be bored.
Yeah, stop putting pressure
also
on
you're
us.
David Bowie, you didn't have to say it, we already knew that. If you go up to somebody on the street and say, you ever think David Bowie got bored? Like, no, he's David Bowie. It doesn't get boring.
Right.
I wouldn't be bored of being David Bowie regardless of where I was going, so it didn't need to be said. Probably messed up. So in conclusion, David Bowie, history's greatest monster. And that's the end of our show. Maybe forever. I don't know. That's a pretty hard call. David Bowie's got some fans out there. Come and get us. The they call themselves the Bowie Knives. Not super original.
Oh no.
Although, you know, he is named after the Bowie Knife.
He's named after it. I thought
yes,
the Bowie
his
knife
actual was name is Dave. No. But no, the Bowie knife is named after somebody Bowie. There's
yeah,
a famous
a guy whose last name was Bowie, yes.
Yes, but David was
some other last name,
monkey?
You're saying.
What's the monkey?
I don't know.
Dave. That one of the monkeys is named David something. Dave. No. Anyway. No. Anyway. David Bowie's last name, same last name, It's something very boring, like Long or something. I can't remember.
Oh,
Something
so Bowie's not his
Holmes.
real last name. I didn't even know that.
No, that's his state. His real name is David. And in fact, he put out one album as a folk artist under his Jones. It's David Jones. That's what it is. That's why his son is Duncan Jones. Because actual name is David Jones, and Davy Jones is one of the monkeys.
That's right. Yeah.
And so no, he's David Bowie, named after the Bowie knife, because it sounded cool in
Okay.
like America, which is why it's weird because everybody in the UK calls him David Bowie, but it's made named after a Bowie knife, which is pronounced Bowie, although I do know people with that last name in this country who pronounce their last name Bowie, so who knows? Anyway, David Bowie made us all bored. That's the takeaway here. Go out, make your own music so that you won't be bored. You can be David Bowie in our heart. Carry a little bit of David Bowie with us every day. Please email us, themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Please go in the comments of the YouTubes or go to themagicaltalkinghat.com and tell us your things. And tell us if you want to do an episode where we're all here hanging out, talking about how amazing we are. Or if you want to go somewhere and be bored.
Yet another mystery solved by the hosts of the Magical Talking Hat. Do you have a question that begs to be answered? Then please write the hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. That's themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, visit the hat at themagicaltalkinghat.com. The music for this episode was provided by Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com.